How we doing?
Sounds like you're better now that you cleared your throat over there. Let me clear my throat.
Great song. Fantastic song. Welcome to a Tuesday here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Mare, our executive producer.
Are we going to get to the breaking news at the beginning of the show, or are we going to hold out on the people for everything that's gone on this morning?
What, that he thinks Mahomes is washed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That one. That why Binkley is waking up this morning in a bucket of tears today.
Oh, yeah. Bailey Zappi.
Yep. Zappi's gone.
He's in Cleveland.
Yeah, we lost him to the Browns. I can't believe that. Coming and picking our practice squad apart and taking Bailey Zappi.
I thought the breaking news is that all three of us get to annoy your wife today.
We've written a song that we like to call Round Ball Rock. Now, it starts but then it just grew into something bigger than both of us could ever imagine. It's me on keys and Dave singing. All right, ready to do this?
Yes, I am.
All right, 2, 3, 4.
Ba, 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 basketball, gimme, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Yeah. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it.
So this morning we've annoyed my wife. Yep. Binkley's in tears, and Mac thinks that Patrick Mahomes is washed, and the Chiefs should move on from him as quarterback. Yeah. Right?
There are two truths and one false.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Take it out. Game, two truths, two facts, and one false.
That's right. Two truths and a lie.
Yeah, two truths and a lie.
What it is,
and I'm so glad.
And so Mac comes in this morning and goes, Patrick Mahomes throws too many interceptions. We need to look at trading him. Mm-hmm. And instead, the Browns went out and got Bailey Zappi instead of Patrick Mahomes.
Which is who I thought should start.
I know, exactly. You thought Zappi should move in and be the starter on this roster because you watched Lamar last night throw for 5 touchdown passes, and you're like, oh my God, we can't win with Patrick Mahomes, and comes in this morning and is like, we need to trade Patrick Mahomes. We're like, you need to calm down a little bit. You know, prisoner of the moment after last night's game, I'm sure, for a lot with Baltimore. They're still 3 games behind the Chiefs. The Chiefs need to lose 3, and Baltimore needs to run the table for them to get the number 1 seed right now.
That's right.
Baltimore is only the 3 seed right now if the playoffs were to start today behind the Houston Texans, who come in as the 2 seed because they've not yet lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. And don't look now at the standings in this weird whatever week we're in. Denver's a playoff team.
Yeah, they're 4-3. Jeez.
Denver at 4-3 is a playoff team right now in the AFC. They would face the Houston Texans in that first round of the playoffs. So there you have your playoff update, folks. But I thought, like I'm sure as you did, prisoner of the moment last night, everybody's going to be thinking about Lamar Jackson and, oh my God, how great he is. And then you got to pump the brakes and realize they lost to the Raiders in week 2 of the NFL season. Now, I know it's not week 2 anymore, but still, you got to kind of, you know, put everything in order and get everything going in the right direction before you realize, okay, hang on a second here. Chiefs are still in a really, really good spot. You can't be prisoner of the moment with Lamar in Baltimore last night because they got a ways to go to even get even with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, the Ravens are the Chiefs last year, and the Chiefs are the Ravens last year.
Mm-hmm,
isn't that right?
Well, yeah, it sounds about right. Something like that.
Because the Chiefs are the 3 seed, basically, for the second half of the year, couldn't really catch up to them because they couldn't catch the ball.
Right.
Because Kadarius Toney cost you the game against the Lions, mm-hmm. cost you the game against the
Buffalo.
Yeah, the Bills, and then the New England game, he just had a drop.
Yeah, he just had a drop, and MVS may have cost you that game against the Green Bay Packers for sure, you know, dropping the football like that.
I thought that was when the player, like, draped over his back at the end of the game, and it was like a clear pass interference.
Right, it should have been a pass interference as well, yeah.
But he did have a couple of games where he did have drops, but, I mean, I remember that Packers game, like, he, on the 2-yard line, Chiefs get all the calls.
Right, right.
And the guy literally, like, Superman from out of nowhere and jumped on his back and was like, all right, I guess that's how the game's going to end.
See you later.
But here's the narrative of that. Don't let the refs control the outcome.
That's exactly
what
the narrative
is. Take care of business.
Like, yep, go out there and don't worry about balls
never
and strikes.
Have to worry about it. That's right.
Go out there and take the referees out of the game. And if you do, you get a better chance of winning. So.
I thought, for one, I'm glad that Chargers-Arizona game was on ESPN+.
People were mad, I guess, about that again last night.
One thing I want to take out of that is that was a game last night where the Manning cast shouldn't have been on. Here's why. That game shouldn't be on ESPN+. Put the one game on ESPN and put the other game on ESPN2. The reason why I say there shouldn't have been a Manning cast, it's not every week.
Right.
So when you have 2 games on Monday Night Football, don't have the Manning cast on. Put the 2 games on, you know, not simultaneously, but like the way they like did it is when the first game kind of got to the end of the first quarter, the second game was starting. Now, the second game was ass. It wasn't good. You didn't miss anything. Herbert threw for 349, but unfortunately, his receivers dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Welcome to the NFL, I guess. Arizona had a late rally. They won. There was a questionable. I don't know if it was questionable or not. Like, they hit Marvin Harrison Jr. in the head with a helmet. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
multiple calls like that that just didn't like
that's,
happen.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the first game, what we noticed, the number one contender is Baltimore.
No, it is.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
But they played, and they've played a different style of football against everybody but the Chiefs because they had to. Like, I was telling Mac in the bullpen, like, Derrick Henry had two carries last night for over 100 and I think it was over 130 yards. He had the 81-yard carry, and he had the 39-yard carry, right? They're doing that because they were up big late. They're not up big late against the Chiefs. Derrick Henry, I think, had like 40 yards rushing against the
right.
Chiefs.
Right, can't get a running game going if you're not up, yeah.
Right, and obviously the fluke loss to the Raiders,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Still counts.
Chiefs had one of those last year. We'll play the audio of it here a little bit later because it is a Raider week.
Right.
But the two things I noticed in that, or the two big things that stood out is that Baltimore's number one contender and Tampa Bay is withering away due to, I mean, we could have a discussion about it, why your superstars are out there, why they played. Mike Evans clearly was like in the same boat as Juju Smith-Schuster, but it seemed like it was a little bit rough because when he caught that touchdown, he kind of got up hobbling. Then he went for another touchdown. They kept him out there when he was clearly limping on the sidelines. Again, good luck taking a player off the field when like they're telling you they don't want to get off the field. But he gets hurt severely, like he's bouncing around, looked like a fish out of water. And then Godwin breaks his ankle or whatever it was at the end of the game.
Which ESPN refused to keep showing the replay of. They never showed the replay of that thing last night.
That.
No, I did this morning. I saw it again.
They put it in an air cast. Yeah. That's enough evidence for me.
I mean, it was a right angle sticking off that leg.
Agree or disagree with Todd Bowles leaving those guys in?
I agree. And Ryan Clark talked about it. And we'll play his audio because I think what Ryan Clark said would make you go, all right, you're right about that. It's an NFL game. You get a certain amount of these. And look, the players want to play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're down and they're trying to win. So we'll hear from Ryan Clark about that because he's a former player in this league. And what he said after the game last night on ESPN,
I like Ryan Clark.
I do too. I think he's a brilliant commentator. And what he said last night about it puts it into perspective of where we are. Because I know it's easy to wake up and the low-hanging fruit is rip Todd Bowles. He sucks. Oh, my God, this guy's a moron. But then when you hear it from a player's perspective, you're like, oh, okay, that's the other side of it. The ESPN thing last night is interesting because they don't care about ESPN, too. They're trying to get you to subscribe to ESPN Plus.
Not happening.
And that's where we're going right now with all of this. And so, in an altruistic society, that game is on ESPN, too, and everybody has access to it.
Well, if you want me to subscribe to it, don't give me Arizona Chargers.
Well, and that's
got kind of,
yeah,
flip it.
Yeah, but I'm surprised the Chiefs haven't been an ESPN Plus exclusive
game.
But you know what? They've been a Peacock exclusive game. They're a Netflix exclusive game.
Prime.
Prime exclusive game. They were the first Prime game out there. So the Chiefs have been the guinea pig, for all of these companies. Christmas
I feel like everybody's
Day,
got Prime. I feel like hardly anybody's got ESPN Plus.
Well,
nice sell job with Arizona Chargers.
Yeah, you're not going to. I don't think you're going to get people to sign up for that. And again,
no.
There's no Charger fans. They had that fake fan out there yesterday. Did you see her? She made a return last night. And there's I don't know any Arizona Cardinal fans. I really don't. So I think it's a bad choice of two teams to put out there. But how many times can the Chiefs be the damn guinea pig for somebody trying to get their their streaming service up and started? Because I know for a fact the Amazon Christmas Day games don't happen unless the Chiefs agree to be on Christmas Day. For Amazon, they said we're not doing it without the Chiefs. So they're like, okay, fine, here you go, Chiefs. Wednesday at noon on Christmas Day, you can play Pittsburgh because we want to sell this package too.
That's a really good Christmas Day game.
It's a great Christmas Day game. Now you start to look at it. I mean, it's going to be
3-0.
I mean, yeah, right. Yeah, it's field goal,
so
last second wins, but
it's
great defensive battle.
It's going to take an hour and a half, and you'll be done and eating by 3.
Right, and nobody will be complaining.
Nope.
And you know what? But so the Chiefs have been the guinea pig for all of this, and this is where we're going right now. They're going to continue to push more and more of these games, these plus services and these streaming services. And as you continue to strip cable and add services, you're not saving any money. you're not. But you got to have the right price point for these as well, too. I know ESPN is trying to peddle this thing for like $50 a month with Warner Brothers or whatever it was. People are like, not paying that. No chance I'm paying something like that. So that's why they do it. I thought the Manning cast was good last night. I thought Belichick was really good talking about Ed Reed. You had mentioned Ed Reed may not be invited back to the Manning cast last night. last night. And so I think that's just kind of the way it is. And you know, you want to sell your subscriptions, though, man. You can't use the Chiefs every time.
Here's your Ryan Clark audio.
You only have 53 players on your roster. This is not high school. This is not college where you get to pull the entire team, where everybody has a freaking backup. You sign up to go win games. You are paid for what you do each day, every single second, every single minute of every single game. And Todd Bowles never wants that team to think that he gave up on them. And those players and the people in those helmets, the guys with those headsets, never want Todd Bowles to think that they don't believe they have a chance to win. This team was down 34-10. So to have fought back the way they did, to be down only 10 points, you do have a belief. And you want to finish, right? You practice, like, this ain't baseball where we're in the clubhouse all day and we get to go play games every day. And if you have a sour taste in your mouth on Tuesday, you could fix it on Wednesday. Mm. This isn't basketball where you have a road trip where you're playing back-to-backs. Like, you work all week for 3 hours. And if all you're asking me to do to make all this money you're going to pay me to play this kid's game for a king's ransom is play for all 60 minutes or play until there's zero on the clock, that's what I'm going to do. And Chris Godwin, and God bless him, because I know how hard it is to deal with an injury and to see their faces after seeing how gruesome it was. I get it. But that's where he wanted to be. That's the shield he wanted to go out on. And to continuously question Todd Bowles. One question, I get.
Yeah.
Right?
But
continually question him as if he did something wrong and put Chris Godwin in harm's way in a game that is inherently putting you in harm's way every single snap.
Preach.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
If Scott Van Pelt tells you to preach, I agree with whatever you're saying.
Exactly right.
There's nobody I respect more at ESPN than Scott Van Pelt.
You know, Scott Van Pelt's up there. Ryan Clark is really up there for me, too. I've loved him over the last couple of years.
That whole pregame was great. Scott Van Pelt, Ryan Clark, Jason Kelsey, and what's our guy from Dallas?
Marcus Spears. Marcus Spears is fantastic. He doesn't have time for the nonsense with the Chiefs either.
Stop with
trying to find somebody better.
And guess what we get tonight? We get LeBron James, baby. But also, more importantly, we get the TNT set. One last year. Mm-hmm. Final ride.
Let's go.
It's the only
pregame show in sports in my impression.
Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know. Too much coffee?
Yeah, too much. My opinion. in my opinion, that's worth watching.
Sound
I don't
like
pregame
that lawyer
for the NFL
gave my cousin
all.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
That movie's on every day, by the way.
Watch it every time.
Every time I come across it, I just stop and watch.
Did you ever watch Heavyweights?
No.
Okay. Coming back on the other side, why it no longer exists and why it should. I'm Dusty Likens. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. This is 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan. If you're wondering, yes, we are live on the cameras.
Yay!
Twitch,
good morning.
YouTube, Twitter. I even matured the mustache a little bit. I blended it a little bit.
It looks good. Yeah,
Thank you. Much
better than it did yesterday.
A little less farva and more like, I don't know, suburban dad.
Yeah, it kind of is. You know, it's still a little bit like Austin Wells. Still Austin Wells-ish for you.
I would take that.
Yeah, why wouldn't you, right?
I don't know. I'm just excited, man.
You're excited for the start of the NBA season.
Mac
in the break wanted to trade Drew Lock for Patrick Mahomes straight up to the Giants. Like,
see what happens? You get Fesco an inch.
This is really.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
This is really.
You want to switch spots?
Say one thing about Mahomes. I'll switch spots.
I'll produce you coming here. You guys can just. I'll sit back and
first take,
baby. Sig over there. I'll go in the fridge. See, they still got pizza from Sunday. They sent an email out about.
Wow, there's pizza from Sunday.
Still isn't
How
there.
About
yeah.
that? That's good
yeah,
stuff.
They said, in case you want cheesy bread and pizza, it's 6 days old. Come get it.
Go get it, baby. Devour that stuff. It is a radio station, so you'll see somebody in there.
I wonder
it later
if
today.
The tomatoes are still in there.
Oh, God.
Have you seen them?
No, I don't go in the refrigerator.
They are?
Yeah.
Well, remember how we did the Caesar salad episodes?
Yeah. Okay.
We're getting ready to start a tomato episode.
So, what do you
so
think happened
tuned.
In the hallway? Did somebody not make it to the bathroom or did the
I don't
ceiling?
I think it was
leak?
Like that yesterday, too.
Oh, it was? I didn't see that.
I thought
yesterday.
We lost another water machine.
Yeah, I didn't see that yesterday at all. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, was it wet there?
It was
yesterday?
After you guys left. Like, I hung around for a little bit.
Oh, and something happened?
I don't know. Is anybody here pregnant?
I don't know. I have no idea, but something happened over there. Either somebody peed on the floor or the ceiling leaked.
Have you ever not made it?
To the bathroom?
Yeah.
No, I make it to the bathroom.
You never like laugh
so
hard.
I peed my pants in New Orleans one time, but I wasn't even drunk. That was the thing.
Really?
Jen and I were down there. It was the middle of the day. We were drinking so much water because it was so hot and humid.
Wow.
And we were just kind of wandering around. I'm like, I gotta go. And like, boom.
Just in your wow.
I mean, we finally found a restaurant and I ran in. And it was, you know, I got there about 3 seconds too late. And so I had to be like, Adam Sandler in whatever movie the hell that was.
Big Daddy?
Tommy Boy, where he peed himself and then, you know, he peed himself because the kid
Tommy
peed
Boy.
Himself in the, on the field trip, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that, not Tommy Boy.
Billy Madison.
Billy Madison, yeah.
Peeing your pants is cool.
That's right.
Everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
If peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis. That's
right.
The grossest thing I've ever heard.
All right, so that's what I did. I peed my pants. And then, you know, sat out in the sun and dried off a little bit. But, you know, it is what it is. It happens. Like, I'm like, I gotta go. I've had like 18 bottles of water. It's hot and humid down here, and I lost it.
You said New Orleans. I assume.
Yeah.
Different situation.
No,
you know what I mean?
It was early in the day. We hadn't even like, you know, we're just kind of walking around and we're walking to, it's called Frenchman Street. Get off of Bourbon Street, go down to Frenchman Street. There's like live bands all day long and whatever. So we're kind of just meandering over and I'm drinking a lot of water and boom, there you go. Couldn't make it. Feel bad for
beads?
That bathroom. No. That's the time to go to New Orleans when nothing is going on.
So you've been calling your shot for about, Mac, what do you think? We're in what, week 7 of the NFL? Getting ready to get into week 8?
Yep.
So I'm going to say, let's see here. That's at least 8. That's 2 months. So that's 3 months. Fesco's been calling the shot.
I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah!
Stuff like that happens. It'll get handled when it gets handled.
It'll get handled when it gets handled. The previous audio was the audio of the Raiders mimicking Patrick Mahomes as Kermit the Frog as a Muppet with
right.
a headband and the curly hair. Mahomes then gets asked in training camp. It'll get taken care of when it gets taken care of. Right.
Yes.
You, sir, have been saying since I think July when this happened that this game was the first game and maybe the only game that was circled and. They open up 9.5-point favorites. If I'm going to listen to you for 5 minutes. I think you can get at least 5 minutes of this juice. And if you can convince me, I will alt spread this game to Chiefs by 14.5 because you think this game is like 35-3.
Yeah, this is one of those games that at the beginning of the year when the schedule came out, this was the circle game for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
After Christmas Day, they felt embarrassed, right? And then they didn't lose again. They haven't lost since Christmas Day to the Raiders. They've won 12 straight ball games right now. And mm-hmm. then the schedule comes out, and so everybody circles, you know, 10:27, get your popcorn ready, is what, you know, some folks have told me since, you know, the day of the schedule release.
We're already at 10:27.
10:27, right? I mean, can you believe that, too?
Halloween's, what, a week from Thursday?
Yeah, right. I mean, we're the holiday season starts next week, right?
Jeez.
Everybody's going to have their holiday candies out and all that kind of good stuff
at
the stores and whatnot. So I think, you know, this was a game that when the schedule came out, all right, this is the one, this is revenge game. We're going to go out there and we're going to take care of business. Now, will you alt spread it to 14.5? I would pause you on that because of the injuries right now that we're facing. I mean, you know, when the schedule came out, you had Hollywood Brown, you had Rashi Rice, you had Isaiah Pacheco. None of those guys are on this team right now that you can look at. So you're going to try to put up points with, you know, a depleted, if you will, offense. And I can tell you they're probably out there looking for a wide receiver right now. I heard from, you know, somebody this morning. They're in the office. They were in the office before I was out of bed this morning. And I'm like, what's going on? They're like, it's Raider week. So this organization is fired up and ready to go to beat this ball club. 14.5 is that's a lot in any NFL
sure
game,
is.
Right? But if they were fully healthy, I would say absolutely alt spread it. And I wonder what it would be if everybody was healthy, what the spread would be, because you're looking at a spread right now at 9.5. If you can name the Chiefs starting wide receivers, I'll give you a dollar. I mean, like, that's where we are at this point in time. Nobody knows who the weapons are right now for the Chiefs from an offensive standpoint. In an offensive league, and yet they're still a 9.5-point favorite going into this game. It says a lot about the Raiders, obviously, and where they are, but also, too, it also credits the Chiefs' defense, I think, a lot in saying, all right, they're going to hold the Raiders down, and all the Chiefs need to do is really score two touchdowns or two scores, a touchdown and a field goal to win this thing, because I don't anticipate Gardner Minshew moving the ball up and down the field without Devontae Adams and company and scoring a lot of points against this Chiefs' defense. As we look on the big board, they have not given up 20 or more points since week 2 of the NFL season, which was Packers on September 15th. By the time we play this game on 10/27, that's 6 weeks since they've last given up more than 20 points. And so I don't expect that to change this week against the Raiders. It's just how many points can the offense score to give you that buffer of, you know, 14 and a half points. What's the number if you do go 14 and a half?
They won't allow it.
No.
At least on DraftKings, there's not enough information out.
Right.
So all you can take right now is 9.5,
yeah.
The under over or the money line. But you mentioned Christmas Day. This is how bad it was.
The Chiefs just lost to the Raiders on Christmas after one of the most embarrassing offensive performances of the Mahomes era. The Chiefs defense played so well that Aiden O'Connell did not even complete a single pass in the second, third, or fourth quarter, throwing for just 48 net passing yards, going 3-for-12 on third down, 0-for-3 in the red zone, and scored just 2 field goals as a result from the Raiders' offensive drives. However, the defense can only do so much because the Chiefs' offense once again struggled with errors, miscues, and turnovers, with both of those turnovers happening on back-to-back plays, resulting in 2 Raiders defensive touchdowns in just 7 seconds of game time. On top of that, Butker missed a field goal, then Mahomes and company turned the ball over on downs twice in the second half, once being at the Raiders' 7-yard line in the fourth quarter. And while they were able to score their second touchdown with a few minutes left in the game, it was ultimately too late, with KC showing they can't win a game if they're trailing in the fourth quarter, which is exactly how all 6 losses have happened. And this video of a dog taking a dump on Arrowhead's field after the game basically sums up the Chiefs' offensive performance.
That was Christmas Day last year, the last time the Chiefs lost. Because remember, that was the game
Did
Isaiah
you do that when you were living in Tennessee, Mac? Was that your take from then?
Yeah. If you remember, that was the same game Isaiah Pacheco sat on the trainer's table and it broke.
Yeah, that's right.
Dog defecates on an Arrowhead.
Yeah.
Butker missed a field goal. I can't get over the stat that Aiden O'Connell had 48 passing yards in the second half and didn't complete a pass for the second, third, and fourth quarter.
Right. That's crazy, right? Isn't that bizarre? He didn't complete a pass in the last 3 quarters of the game and still had 48 yards. So he had a nice first quarter for Aiden O'Connell. But he's not going to be on the – he's not walking through that door on Sunday, okay? So don't expect Aiden O'Connell to go out there and do anything on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's a Raiders team that Antonio Pierce said yesterday, we're not very good right now, but we're not tanking either. So if you've got to address the tanking issues, you know, people are already starting to talk about, hey, maybe the Raiders ought to go out there and tank because they don't have a quarterback right now. The Giants don't have a quarterback. The Jets don't have a quarterback. A lot of teams don't have a quarterback, and there's not a lot of good ones coming out this year, right? There's about 3 quarterbacks. And so,
well, that we know of, there'll be some like guy that we didn't talk about, and then Brock Purdy happens.
Exactly. Yeah. And Binkley will update us on that tomorrow about who some of the quarterbacks are that are coming out. There was a rumor yesterday that Quinn Ewers quit the Texas team.
That was wild.
That was crazy yesterday. I talked to some people close to the Texas program yesterday that I happen to know, and they're like, no, it's a complete lie.
Yeah, somebody tweeted something, then took it down, and then everybody was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, like 24/7 Sports or something. They claim they were hacked.
Oh.
Yeah, they claim they were hacked. And they said Quinn Ewers quit the team and he's focusing on the NFL.
Hacked like when Buster Olney got hacked? I don't know if people remember that, but that was one of the funniest things of the summer.
That was really good, yeah.
Oh, it was.
Who was it?
Buster Olney?
Buster Olney got hacked.
Look
summer.
It up, dude. Yeah, he got hacked for like an hour, and like I'm like, dude, you're always on your phone. Like, how are you not seeing this?
Yeah, there was like all trade rumors and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, it was everything. Yeah. Oh, God.
So they claim to get hacked, but like there's like 3 good quarterbacks coming out. My point is, like, if you want to get one of these legit quarterbacks, well, you're picking 10 may not be a spot where you can be in order to get one of these quarterbacks. So if you're a team like the Raiders or the Giants or the Panthers or, you know, the Jets or, you know, one of these teams that don't have a quarterback at this point in time, you have to seriously consider about, you know, about tanking. I know the players aren't going to go for it, but
somebody
the coaches and the general managers are looking around going, all right, we need a few losses to make sure we get a quarterback.
Somebody in the text line said, you can keep your dollar if you can name me 3 Raiders.
Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew, and Devontae Adams. Yeah.
Somebody's like, Max Crosby, Gardner Minshew, and then I got nothing.
They got nothing after that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's where the Raiders are.
Their running back, he'll have, what, 25 yards?
Who's their tight end? Blake Bell?
No, you know who it is.
Yeah, I know. I can't think of his. Why am
Brock
I drawing?
Bowers.
Brock Bowers. Yeah, I think he was like double B.
He's him. And I came up with a strategy last night about tight ends and the Chiefs.
Oh.
I think, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, maybe we can ask somebody who knows what they're talking about when we interview like Danon Hughes or somebody like that. Maybe Derek Johnson's a good one. I think they're allowing, and maybe this is bias, and that's fine, I think they're allowing the tight end to do what they want to do.
Well, they are because they're taking everybody else
out of
the equation.
How many elite tight ends are there in the NFL?
There's a good number now, more than there's ever been.
This year?
Well, you mentioned Brock Bowers. He's having a good season.
Who else?
Obviously, Travis Kelce's an elite tight end. George Kittle's an elite tight end.
He's hurt.
You're talking about playing currently right now.
Laporta's not. Ingram's not. Kelce's not. Andrews had 2 touchdowns last night. Finally did something. Ask Mac. He knows all about it. Isaiah Likely. Big game against the Chiefs. George Kittle. Big game against the Chiefs, right? Yeah. Tight ends do this against the Chiefs because what they're saying is...
But you know who hasn't had a big game with the Chiefs? Everybody else on those rosters.
Which is what I'm saying.
Right.
Like,
go beat us.
They'll stop the run. They'll blanket your wide receivers. If you want your tight end, because if it makes sense, Isaiah Likely's done nothing since week one.
Right.
Nothing since week one.
No, you pick
Spags
your poison,
saying,
you know?
Go ahead. I'll let a tight end do it. Go be that guy. Kittle, go have your 92 yards receiving. You're not going to beat us. And if a tight end does beat you and has 200 yards and 2 touchdowns, then that's the anomaly.
Yeah.
I think what they're doing is letting the tight end just run free, and then they're just covering everybody else in a scheme that no one's figured out
yet. And I think, you know, you look at what the people do against the Chiefs, though. I mean, they've been taking Travis Kelce out, and that's why Rashee Rice had a great start to this season, right? Yeah. Now that Rashee Rice is hurt, you're going to need Travis. So anyway, it all trickles down. But, I mean, that's what the Chiefs are doing this year. There's no question about it. All right, fine. There's going to be somebody that's going to beat us, but it's not going to be their number one player.
It's like a basketball or baseball analogy, right? Like,
and maybe Brock Bowers doesn't have anything to give this week, because who else are you going to allow beat you with the Raiders?
Like,
right?
Tonight, Minnesota might be like, you know what? If Austin Reeves is going to beat us, we're just going to double AD. We're going to double LeBron. And if Austin Reeves has 36 points and goes 8 of 11, then we lost in an anomaly. You know what? We're not going to pitch to your 1 through 5 guys. If your 6-hole hitter can hit 2 home runs and have 5 RBI, then you guys win. Yeah. Congratulations.
Exactly. We're not going to let Bobby and Salvi and Vinny beat us.
No.
We're going to go after, you know, Austin Frazier.
If Melendez
whoever,
has a grand slam and 2 doubles and 6 RBI, then we lose.
You tip your
cap.
But
I'm gonna bet that doesn't happen often.
Right. You're not gonna go out there and give up the ship and allow the number one player to beat you on the roster. It's going to be somebody else.
Yeah, like Kittle.
Right.
Go ahead.
On the come.
One more time.
On the come.
That's right. We do this every Tuesday. Somebody that we think is on the come. Bob Fesco, you've got an interesting one here.
Yes. The gentleman that I'm going with that's on the come this week is somebody you probably never heard of.
No.
It's somebody you're going to be obsessed with once I tell you the story about this guy.
Can't wait.
And his name is Kevin Mills.
Okay.
Kevin Mills is the gentleman, and he's been making a splash in his debut at the Motus Super Series Dart Championships this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And the reason why this guy is on top of the on the come list for me this week is because his accomplishments are not really dart related, and this guy's 34 years old, so he's not a child, but it's his remarkable eating habits. He eats 2 things: bread and potato chips, and that is it.
No meat on the bread?
Nothing. Bread and potato chips. More shocking though, Dusty, his wedding had a hog roast, and he ate chips that day and did not participate in the hog roast. His his record of bags of chips in one day, 46.
Now we're talking like the little sandwich bags, like the little like.
It just says a bag of crisps.
Crisps.
Because he's from, you know, overseas, right? 2 ingredients, bread and crisps. On his wedding day, everybody else had a hog roast, and he sat there with a crisp sandwich. Imagine that. Sat there and put the potato chips on bread and ate that. Everybody's got all the turkey and trimming at Thanksgiving. It's a massive meal. He sat there with a crisp sandwich with a bit of butter. 46 bags of chips in one day. This guy is eating, and he's doing wonderfully in this dart championship. At 34 years old, this guy's on the come.
I love the text line from the 913. Congratulations to Alex Gold on his darts career. Take the day off. Take the day off.
You're done for the day.
6:35, your day's over. You get a full day's pay.
That is fantastic. God. I love it.
Mac Morenstein.
On the come.
For me, I'm going to go Seattle. They're leading the division now. They got a kick-ass offense. Geno Smith in a dome this last week in Atlanta.
Their offense took a shot, though.
It did.
They're the third seed right now.
I know. And they played the Bills this week. It's a tough game. It's at Buffalo. But hey, on the
go
come,
Seahawks.
Help out Kansas City. Let's go. Come on, Seattle. Let's go. I like it. Geno's playing top six, seven football right
now. Geno's got a hell of a running back there, too.
He does, man.
Seattle sitting at 4-3 right now. Wow.
The roommate and I were having a discussion last night. Is Derrick Henry the last running back to make the Hall of Fame in the NFL?
It's an interesting topic. I don't know who's.
They had it on. Pardon my
God.
Take.
You think active about it, running back
is McCaffrey in?
No, he's hurt too much. No, he's
so
not.
McCaffrey's
not
a Hall of Famer.
No, I don't think he is.
Derrick Henry is.
Derrick Henry, sure. Yeah,
is he the last? Yeah. He's the last running back.
Well, looking around the league right now,
who's
it? I mean, that's it, right? I mean, there's nobody else.
I mean, not even close.
Kamara,
yeah.
No.
Pacheco,
no.
How does nobody say Carson Steele?
That just blew my mind last night. I had that discussion.
That's pretty crazy, man.
I mean, it's
the running back is phased out.
The running back is the
longevity.
Dodo bird.
It's there. Like they're there for 4 years, but like. 4 years don't get you stats.
Nope.
Get 4 years don't get you like honorable. Like literally, Derrick Henry might be the last running back to make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean,
One comes along that's anomaly. That's
now,
not football.
Are you talking about like because there's a chance like a Tiki Barber makes the Hall
I'm
of Fame
about in the NFL
in the
today.
NFL today.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry to me, I mean, just a quick scan in my mind of running backs in this league. Name another.
Even close.
Name another. Right? So, Derrick Henry, yes, probably the last active running back that's going to make it into the Hall of
Fame. I guess if you're going to tell me Bijan Robinson's going to have an amazing decade and the Falcons win a Super Bowl or something,
you don't know. But Justy's right. The shelf life of the running back. That's why I feel bad for Pacheco. Like, you got hurt. Like, you ain't getting paid either. Like, I hate to tell you the news.
That's what they said. He in the locker room, he was like weeping.
Yeah.
Like, it's more than just like missing the team and missing the games. It's more so like my future is now.
It's over. Did you see the video of him yesterday? Though on the treadmill, he's ready to go.
Right,
he's
missed that.
He's going to race himself back and be ready to go sooner, I think, rather than later. But you know, he's not making any money. You're not paying these guys.
I watched that video, and then I was more impressed by the still shot of Kareem Hunt in a cutoff and shorts.
Oh,
I was
you really liked that one, didn't you? Yes, I did. Yes,
dude, that's a man.
Yeah.
Don't burn his eggs.
No.
My on the come is going to piss everybody off in Kansas City because it is quite simply Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's quietly doing what Joe Burrow does every single year in Cincinnati. They lose early. They have to claw and scrape all the way through the season and come back. I do think in the playoffs, if I could look into my crystal ball, the Chiefs will get a bye. Cincinnati will come to Arrowhead, and then Baltimore will come to Arrowhead. And that is, it's going to start.
Not Houston.
Nope. It's going to start and end the exact same way in this season. Okay. That's my theory. Joe Burrow is fourth in the league in passing. He's third in the league in touchdowns. He's thrown for 1,759, 14 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, has a QBR of 110.1 and a completion percentage of 70.
Ooh.
Don't look now, but Joe Burrow's in your candidacy of the MVP races. It is Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow.
Lamar Jackson took a huge lead last night in the odds. He's like at plus 175 now. Patrick's at plus 425. Bet Patrick Mahomes on that one. Joe Burrow's got to figure out a way to win at home. They're 0-3 at home. I mean, you're not going to make the postseason going winless.
With a stinker against
home.
New England.
They've got the Eagles coming in to their stadium on Sunday for
they
a noon game.
Game.
Then they're against the Raiders at
win
home.
That game.
Then they're at the Ravens.
That's tough.
Then they're at the Chargers.
Win that game.
Then they have the Steelers. Then
probably
they're at the Cowboys, at the Titans, versus the Browns, versus the Broncos, which could be for the final playoff spot, and then at the Steelers to close out the regular season. So there's an opportunity there. Their schedule is not that hard down the stretch.
Could happen. Called that shot 2 weeks ago in the bullpen to Cody Golden Drew. Drew had a big old smile on his face, and Alex just said, yeah, but they don't have a Super Bowl.
But
that's just how he ends every conversation when it comes to
Alex isn't wrong. But could you imagine, though, being that team and having to fight so hard in the regular season
year.
By the time you get to the playoffs,
every
it's just like,
year.
I'm out of steam. I'm out of gas, man. Like,
every single year.
Make it easier on yourself and take care of business in the regular season of the early part of the year and don't lose to the Raiders.
Coming up on the other
Patriots.
Side, we get into what is a tough Tuesday for some individuals around the NFL. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, 96.5 The Fan. This is Fesco and Dusty, and it's your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
It's actually a really good discussion. Welcome back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. There's certain foods you don't bring into work.
Yeah, fish, number one.
I think I don't know. Yeah, because I was telling you a story just off the air that one time when I was a young buck and I was producing back there, I was doing a show at night. I think it was actually like Binkley's show at night. Now it could have been. He was doing 10 to 2.
Yeah.
Might have been The Machine. But
George Michael was in there?
Mm-hmm. Same guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk into the studio and I'm like, oh my God, what's that putrid smell? And Heisler just goes, sorry, I made salmon for lunch. Yeah. I was like, thank you, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's like whenever we got the
onions
from Aussie.
Yeah.
He brought us
2 weeks of onion smell.
Now you kind of like it. But anyway.
No, I don't. I mean, 2 weeks of smelling that.
And that's what's weird. It's like I did everything as a good Samaritan would do. Like I left him out of the studio in the hallway, used a different trash can, and JT and I got free tacos from a really nice guy named Robert who was like, hey, man, I guess it's more so like, hi, Mike, like, enjoy the tacos. And we're like, all right, sweet. And then all of a sudden I get a text at like 6:30 in the morning the next day. And he's like, dude, you pissing people off. And yeah. I was like, I didn't mean to. Like, I did everything I was supposed to. I kept it all out there. But
you know, that smell wafts. I mean, that's just a wafting smell. So onions and fish. Yeah, keep that out of the office.
Yeah, onions and fish. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That is good.
I don't know what else you put on that list, but like burnt popcorn, but you don't people don't sometimes do that on
like,
purpose.
Sometimes like Chinese food or like Thai food.
Sure.
Or Mediterranean food can have like a funk.
Yeah. Yeah. All food can have a funk, but there's just certain stuff you just don't bring in the office and stick in the microwave.
Did your parents ever put like leftovers in the country crock buckets?
No.
Oh, God. We never knew if it was butter, fajita vegetables,
right.
Taco meat, queso, like Rotel.
Right.
You have to just like open it and turn away. Because sometimes you get hit with that,
you
man.
Get hit and you don't know what it is. I threw out some beans last night that I made a couple of weeks ago.
Like black beans?
Yeah, black beans.
A little funk in them?
A little. Oh, my God. I thought like, oh, my God, I'm going to die. What in the hell is this awful smell? And to write down the garbage disposal and out the pee trap, I guess you could say. So it was nasty. Yeah. It was the first time in a while that I went, oh, God, what the hell is this? And I had nobody to blame but myself.
Shout out Robert for getting San Antonio's.
Yeah, San Antonio's is phenomenal.
It was gas.
They have a green, like, avocado-type salsa down there that is just incredible on everything.
It's that orange salsa that I know is going to absolutely, it's going to blow my hole, but I don't care. I'll do it every time. Yeah. Like, I'll pay the price.
It is fantastic.
It'll be a tough Wednesday, but today's a tough Tuesday. Max, should we do some, like, NFL-themed stuff here for this tough Tuesday? This is an interesting one when it comes to this Tuesday because we just talked about Todd Bowles. It's not tough because he let his players in because what Ryan Clark said, it's their job.
It's their job,
like, if we run out of content, you don't just get up and be like, well, it's 8:30, I'm out. Like,
see you later.
Yeah, like,
Alex, get in here.
Yeah, nothing else to talk about. But it's tough because, like, dude, like, you just lost your two wide receiver ones and twos. Welcome to the club.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield looked like Baker Mayfield from 2 years ago. Not the last year Baker, not so far this year, but Baker Mayfield looked a little rocked. They were off to a great start.
They were off to a great start.
All of a sudden, interception in the end zone, next drive, interception, and you're like, ah, boy, you just gave Lamar Jackson two free possessions, and Derrick Henry hasn't even touched the ball yet.
It was a 21-point swing.
It was.
Like, I thought for a while.
They scored 34 unanswered.
You know, I had the game on in the background and you know, talking to Jen and doing all that kind of stuff, and I look up, I'm like, wait a second here. What just happened here?
Yeah.
Because it looked like Tampa was going to start to run away with
take
this
over,
thing, right? They were going to take over this game, and I'm like, wait a second here. It's only 10-0. I thought it was 14-0, and now it's 14-10 in the blink of an eye like that. So, yeah, that's called giving away a game last night. We saw that. I know as much as Mac doesn't like Patrick Mahomes and would rather have Baker as the quarterback here in Kansas City.
Welcome to it.
You know, you saw what the rest of the world is dealing with.
And then my other
night.
Tough Tuesday, who is just every week mention is Brian Daboll.
Like, yeah, Daboll's on the list.
How do you bench Daniel Jones in frustration and then come back the next day and be like, yeah, he's starting Sunday?
Yeah, because, well, he said it's Sunday after the game.
Yeah, that's right, Sunday
like, after the game. Like, he's going to be the starter because you're paying
so
Daniel
fired.
Jones.
Yeah, you're paying him.
He's so fired.
You're paying Daniel Jones, and so you're going to go out there and you're going to use Daniel Jones. And you're going to say, we gave you this money. You suck. We're going to show you why you suck. I don't know, but there's nobody to go to. It's not like there's somebody waiting for
yeah, you Drew Lock.
Did you see him play on Sunday?
Yeah, come on.
Drew Lock, just because he's from here doesn't mean he's good.
He's a stud.
And And so Drew Lock is not the answer.
It's a bona fide stud, a certified G.
The guy with the chicken parmesan is not an DeVito? Answer. Tommy DeVito. So you know when you have three like quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks on your roster right now.
I have another tough Tuesday, but you've got some good ones, so go ahead.
No, I mean Dayball's on the list. Whoever coaches the Jets today, they're on the list for tough Tuesdays.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Okay, we can go Aaron Rodgers.
He doesn't eat tacos. He eats boogers, but not B U R G R S O O.
Yeah, boogers. B O O G E R S. I think you got to put the Mayo guy on the list from Gerard Mayo. Yeah. And also too, I think it's time for Coach of the Year Kevin Stefanski to be on this list and start taking some blame for what's going wrong in Cleveland. You're the head coach, and when you finish 9-8 and get Coach of the Year and coach a playoff game from your basement, everybody can sing your praises. That guy sucks. You're 1-7 or whatever they are right now. It's time to move on from that whole operation.
If I was him, I would just tank on purpose so I get fired. Somebody will hire him like that as a coordinator.
He's a good coach.
Yeah, or once.
Is he? They're 1-5.
I think Brian Daboll is a good coach, too.
They're both they're both kind of prisoners of paid quarterbacks.
You said it last week. You think everyone in the Giants plays really well. You watch the Giants. You said they're a good team besides their quarterback.
Well, the quarterback,
correct?
Yeah, but I don't think the coach is necessarily
good. Do the Browns and the Giants have the same narrative? Like, they both are coaches that are good. They both won Coach of the Year at least once, and they both got handcuffed to a quarterback that got massively overpaid, and they're stuck with it.
There is something to say about that. Like, you'd like to see what they could do with different quarterbacks, but, if they go out and fail with a different quarterback, then obviously, it's on them. So I don't know if Daboll survives this. How do you want a playoff
game with Daniel Jones?
I understand that 2 years ago. Yeah.
It's New York, man. Like, you're in and out like a fast food restaurant there if you don't win 10 games a year.
But where do you draw the line for continuing to do that and being a slappy organization versus sticking with somebody and saying, hey, we believe in you. We're going to lay in a culture. Like, it's a very tough line to toe.
Who decided to pay Daniel Jones? That's who should be
fired.
Well,
that's the owner.
And that GM is going to end. That's the owner.
That's not the GM or the coach. That's the owner.
Well, then that's the owner. Then the owner shouldn't be able to fire Brian Daboll.
Okay.
Because if he made the decision to go pay Andy Kaufman, then that's on him.
Yeah.
And he looks just like Andy Kaufman.
He really does, now that you say that, yeah.
I think Antonio Pierce is on a tough Tuesday. What do you do kicking a field goal from the 10-yard line when you're down by 8?
Yeah.
You're down by 8 in the fourth quarter, and
with 4 minutes left, and you kick a field goal.
Well, you're cutting it to a one position. Oh, never mind.
I was going
to
say, what are you doing?
Shows you how much faith he has in whoever was playing quarterback that day for the Raiders, too. Right?
20-12, you're on the 10-yard line with 4.5 left, and you're like, let's get three.
Let's get three, and then let's go get another touchdown. So let's make it doubly difficult on ourselves. Yeah. Not only do you have to get three, right? So you get three, you cut it to 5. Okay,
still have to get a touchdown.
You still have to stop the other team.
Correct. In 4 minutes
and get the ball back and with
score.
Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew, move the ball down the field. That's not good logic.
That's tough Tuesday. Mac, you got a guy?
Todd Bowles, you guys mentioned, I disagree with Ryan Clark a little bit. I think from a player's perspective, I absolutely agree with what Ryan Clark was saying that we played in the first segment. Players, want to play, and they should, and that's all great. That's all fine and dandy, but as the head coach, the game's over. That's your best player. You already lost your first best player. That's your second best player. Shouldn't be in the game. Shouldn't be in the game. With a guy who's had his knee repaired twice, by the way. Now three times. Twice this guy's missed seasons for his knee injury. So I don't know. I thought it was poor decision-making from Todd Bowles. A coach that I like, though, as far as the X's and O's go.
Has he gained weight? He looked like he gained some weight last night.
I mean, there's probably some good food in Tampa.
Wings. Those lemon pepper wings. Oh, that's Atlanta.
Yeah, that's it. Magic City.
Yeah.
Where they have wings, thighs, and breasts.
That's right.
Heavily seasoned, just for your flavor.
Who was the guy who went there during COVID? Lou something?
Lou Williams.
Lou Williams.
Yes.
Lou!
Yeah. Top 5 Lous of all time. Lou Big Diamond Lou. Phillips. Lou Bega.
Yeah.
Mambo Lou Holtz. 5. Lou Holtz in the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. You see the thing about college football here is Bailey Zappi's out with Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, that's a little Binkley-Lou Holtz combination going on there.
Lou Binkley. That could be Lou Collins from the Minnesota Twins.
If your name is Lou, you're destined to be a football coach,
He's
right?
like you.
Yeah. He is. Yeah. Hi, I'm Lou. You coach football, Lou?
Yeah. God, Lou Diamond Phillips. Was he not great in La Bamba?
Is that the last movie he's been in?
No, he was in a movie recently. I can't remember what it was called, but he was in one recently.
What else do Lous do besides coach football?
they're on, they got, what is it? Diabetes 2?
Yeah, diabetes and three wives or whatever it is, right? Like every,
now that commercial is probably going to play.
Of course it is. But like when you hear the name Lou, you have an impression in your mind of who Lou is. He's about 6'7", large gentleman, little shady.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with him.
You don't mess with a Lou.
Got a little greasy Vegas in him.
Yeah, exactly. Knows a guy that can get anything that you need done. That's like, right. Like you stay away from dudes named Lou.
Yeah. I definitely would not want to hang out with Lou Holtz.
Not that guy, no.
I'd just be afraid that, like, spit would hit me in the face.
Yeah, you get wet.
That happened to me one time. This guy I worked with, he had a piece of food stuck in his tooth. And he was talking to me, and it flew out of his mouth. And it hit my lip.
What do you do?
My only reaction was to lick my lips, so I just ate his leftovers.
I would have got him, like, wash my lip off or something. Like,
I threw up. Shout out Larry Dawson. We became blood brothers. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. We'll get into Raider Week on the other side on 96.5 The Fan. You're over Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.